Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from St. Louis, Missouri, Joey No Chill Prano.
St. Louis, Missouri. How's it going, Andy?
It's good. Are you being held captive? What is going on over there?
In a sense, I am. Yes. We went to the Cardinals-Mets game last night at Busch. Ballsy lived up to her name. She landed us in a suite behind home plate. Free food, free booze. I mean, I walked in and they said, the woman who was in charge of, the concessions in our suite, I walked in and she said, I heard you're a Miller Lite guy. So we got some Miller Lites in there. Even though this is Busch Stadium, there's some Miller Lites in there for you. And I was like, man, this is the way to live. It's going to be tough going back out into the stadium with the pours today, because that's the good life. And myself, the rest of the family here, a bunch of friends, we got after the free booze in the suite. So last night I told Ballsy, I was like, I'm going to have to do Dirty Sports in the morning. She's like, yeah, it's fine. I'll be up. Of course, she's still asleep in the next room. And here I am in, I believe it's her father's office. And who knows where anybody else is. I think everybody is out cold still.
Well, it looks like there's manifestos on the wall. If you're watching on YouTube.
This is actually, it's funny because you're like, what is that on the wall? And it looks like it's, directions to a hidden treasure. It looks like what the Goonies found in the attic that led them out to, One-Eyed Willy's ship. But it's actually just how to back up your iPhone photos onto Google Photos.
That's the most
the instructions.
Old person thing ever.
Boomerific right here.
Oh yeah.
Like, what is this? Is this your manifesto? It's just how I back up my photos onto my Google Photos.
I found a book the other day in the laundry room / computer area where my dad had set up shop of basically every password my parents had ever had.
I love the handwritten passwords.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was the most old person boomer thing.
Do you think there's a boomer in the world who has their internet passwords written down and in a safety deposit box somewhere? Is there one person alive who has it like under lock and key in their bank? So like, honey, if anything ever happens to me, all of our passwords are in the safety deposit box.
Guarantee it,
right? It's gotta be a one.
I will recommend, though, in all seriousness, people don't think about that stuff. So luckily, my dad was very organized. He had any password. You figure there's going to be a lot of accounts on a spreadsheet. And not to make this take a turn, but like when he knew things were real serious, he told my brother, like, this is how you access the password. I'm just letting people know, if you have a will or if you have older people in your family or friends, have it written down, because if you don't, it's not easy to get into that stuff.
I mean, the safety deposit box is one thing, but just think about, I mean, even now with, young people pass away too, can you imagine some young person who's like pulling their brother in, just so you know, and the brother's like, what is my brother who's dying of cancer going to say as the last word? My Instagram password is come on, get it out.
I was just thinking as we were discussing this, this is a stand-up bit where you're telling somebody, you're like, oh, I love you, and my Twitter password is balls deep 6969.
I love you, and my iPhone code is 6969. delete all my dick pics. Remember me.
I might steal this, to be honest.
It's all yours.
Because I was thinking, I literally.
You have dick pics on your phone. It won't work for me.
I literally, actually, I don't. I delete them.
You delete them? You take them, send them, and delete them?
Yeah. And then I delete the text too. Which it's still out there, you know. But I'm glad that we could set this up though, because you sound like you're almost trying to be quiet and be respectful for the house.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little bit, because I don't know. I just went downstairs and Ballsy's brother's like asleep on a chair. And I'm like, he doesn't even live here. I'm like, what? We got lit last night.
Yeah. So if people were like, it's too quiet, you guys blame Perry now, because he went ham last night.
Well, I don't. Is anybody complaining in the comments that I'm too quiet? I mean, normally the mic is a little further away, so I'm also being quiet so as to not blast anybody's ears.
Yeah, I'm not too worried.
I'm not worried at all. In my earphones, I sound fantastic.
So you're going to the game again today?
Going to the game again today. The plan was to go Tuesday, which was DeGrom day, and today. But Tuesday, DeGrom gets scratched, and then the game gets rained out, even though it wasn't raining, which is like, I was starting to think it was me. So they play a doubleheader yesterday, and sadly, we could only get there for the end of the first game and the second game. I wasn't able to get there for the first game, which the Mets lost. I showed up for the second game, once again here to save the Mets season. If they want to go back to the World Series, they should probably let me throw out a pitch again. Just saying. Let Prano pitch again. And we win last night. So I got to go again today and save the series. Get out of here with a split. And yeah, so we got tickets today back in the stands with the pours. And I got to say something, Andy, because this has been a big part of our show over the years. We've talked about Dodger Stadium. We've talked about our love of stadiums. You know, I've only been to Busch once before. And the time I came to Busch before, I did a good loop around, but I did sit in left field. And, I said, it's a fine stadium. It's okay. And was I spoiled sitting in a suite last night? Yeah. But also just being behind home plate, the view of that stadium from home plate, everything in the background, the arch, there's a new building that's up and out there. I am upgrading my rating on the stadium. I actually really enjoyed the ballpark last night. Really enjoyed the view. You know, it's a different perspective than I had last time. And, you know, somebody, Cardinals fans are probably like, man, you sat in left field, you know, like take it easy. And I will say, sitting behind home plate and not the sweet thing, but just the view from behind home plate was exceptional. I'm bumping it up to an 8.5 on my ratings.
Nice.
And it might have jumped into my top 7.
Well, I'm ready to upgrade Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati as well. I think I've been critical, but I was at the day game yesterday. They played the White Sox and it hit me. I'm like, I think I've been too harsh, and they've added a lot of stuff for families, which I think is nice. But I was sitting 7 rows from the top, right on first base. And I was saying to my buddies, we're 7 rows from the top. We have a great view of the field. Obviously, first base, that's a great view. Great view of the river in the background, the bridges. And I was like, there's really not, you know, if you're in the corners, it's bad seats. But I think a lot of these ballparks now, with them not being massive, not like the old days. You know, the old days, if I went to Riverfront Stadium, which was basically the same as the Vet or Three Rivers in Pittsburgh, right? They were all those cookie cutter stadiums. If you were 7 rows from the top, you could feel it.
Oh, I mean, old Shea Stadium, if you were in the upper deck and you were in the top part of the upper deck, you felt like at any moment you could fall to your death.
Sure.
It was so steep.
Yes.
It was so high. And that was those bowl 70 yes. stadiums, because they were like, let's get as many people as we can going upwards. And yeah, it was those stadiums were the worst. And I like to judge every stadium also, like, you can only judge it based on when it was built and the architecture we had then, the technology we had then. Those stadiums sucked, but they were all built in the 70s. That's why Dodger Stadium is great, because it's old and it's beautiful and it's nice. And there's views from the walkways and whatever, you know. Some of these newer ballparks, like Busch, doesn't have great views from the walkways. Like if you're down there getting concession, you can't see the field and, you know, still be rooting for the game. And a lot of the newer stadiums, they figure that out. They're a little bit more open. You walk in, you haven't even gotten your seats yet, you're already seeing the game. And I love that. But, you know, Busch is a little bit older than the rest of these kind of new stadiums. But I got to say, when you're at home plate, that view of the ball game and everything that's going on behind it, the arch and all that, it's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think they're in a, obviously I'm very familiar with the city, St. Louis. I think they're in a good location as far as where the stadium is relative to, you know, downtown, which is great. I want to discuss what happened at the Reds game yesterday with
do it.
Tony La Russa and the extra innings. First of all, La Russa, you know, hasn't managed since 2011, and he's 76 years old, and it was a controversial hire. We discussed it on our show, right? Because they bring back a guy who hasn't been in the game for a long period.
And I think that the White Sox think that they are ready. The White Sox think that they have the team, and that, you know, I was surprised because, I mean, their manager in the last couple, I think he was 2 years removed or a year removed from manager of the year or runner up manager of the year, something like that. And they obviously believed that they were a manager away and that the answer was to go get somebody with a proven track record, somebody that knows how to win. And I think that the White Sox are ready too. Sure. And that was the question coming into the season. What do we think about La Russa? Is La Russa going to put them over the top? Is La Russa, is he still able to, you know, has the game passed him by? What, you know, it seemed like the White Sox think this is a safe hire. And yeah. I think everybody kind of agreed outside of the White Sox, you know, a 76-year-old man who hasn't managed in 10 years, how is that a safe hire? And here we are.
So the first thing that happened was the game was 0-0.
And by the way, before you get into this specifically, I'll just say again about the La Russa hire. There's already been issues. People are already talking.
Yeah.
You know, some of the, there's grumblings from the players. And
obviously they're right that, you know, like they're going to compete for the division.
Yeah.
They have a good team. So it all started in the ninth inning. It was a 0-0 game, just a great pitcher's duel. Sonny Gray versus Dallas Keuchel. And there was, at that point, five total hits heading into the ninth inning. So complete pitcher's duel. He makes the change in the bottom of the ninth to bring in the closer. But then the closer starts halfway from the bullpen to the mound. The closer stops and heads back. And of course, everybody in Cincinnati starts booing. What? Everybody's basically saying, "What's going on?" And I'm saying, "Well, it's a 76-year-old manager. Did he make the change and say, 'Wait, no, I don't want him to come in'?" So there's all this confusion to start. It was a double switch, and I believe it's Hendricks, the closer, comes in, finishes the Reds off to take it to extras. But maybe this was part of it. I guess we learned he didn't even know the extra inning rule. So the closer then went into
the extra, he didn't know the sort of addendum to the extra inning rule, which is the last guy up is going to be the last guy who made an out will be the guy who takes the runner on second base in extra innings, the free runner.
Yes.
And, but if the addendum to that is, if that is a pitcher, you can move it back one guy. To the guy, sure, before him.
Yes.
And La Russa didn't know that and therefore put his pitcher out there.
His closer, which, right, like,
in an American League closer, a guy who probably has run the bases zero times in his life.
Yeah. So think about that. So their American League closer is on second base to start the top of the ninth. I'm sorry, top of the 10th. And the White Sox had first and third. Third and third is the closer with one out. They try to steal second. Dude gets gunned down. And the Reds catcher after the game says, I knew it wasn't going to be a double steal. So that eliminating that worry, I knew the pitcher was not going to try to come home, especially their closer, like you're saying, who doesn't run the bases. So the Reds get out of the inning. Reds start with their own guy at second base. They win on a walk-off hit, 1-0. And La Russa, after the game, I give him credit for admitting, had no clue that in the 10th inning, somebody starts on second base.
Now, there's a couple things at play here. First of all, the extra innings rule is fucking garbage.
I agree.
We have to do something about this, and we have to do something about this immediately. That being said, you're the manager of a Major League Baseball team. You should know the rules. Somebody on your bench should know the rules. If you're too old to know the rules, have a guy sitting next to you who knows the rules. Some player on the team should know the rules and have the balls to be able to tell, hey, Tony La Russa, you seem to not know the rule, so here's the fucking rule. Everybody, it's absurd that this happened. And with grumblings about La Russa already, with people upset, like, this is an exceptionally bad look for Tony La Russa. But again, I return to, this rule is garbage. Not knowing the fucking addendum to a garbage rule, I mean, it's Tony La Russa's get off my lawn moment. Like,
100%.
It's this right here. Tony La Russa needs a fucking, manifesto in his dugout that explains the fucking extra innings rules.
Yeah, it's
the extra, Tony. The extra inning rules are in the safety deposit box.
It
use the key in my night chest.
Well, think about from my viewpoint in the stands. So I went with a couple buddies and my sister-in-law and her friend and my nephew. In this, like, Joe, we don't know what's going on, right? You were in the stands. So first that weird change to bring in the closer, and then this happened, and the steal, and we're all the shrug emoji. We're sitting there going, what is going on? And obviously it made sense after the game when he admits, hey, I had no clue what the hell was happening.
And then why are you even stealing in the first place? I mean, I guess the only answer is because these fucking rules are stupid and he's trying to get two runs for the price of one. And so that if the Reds get a base hit, then the White Sox still win the game. Ends up getting no runs. I mean, yeah, it's a bad look for Tony La Russa. That being said, can we do something? Like, Major League Baseball has a lot of problems right now, and they're not doing a whole lot about any of them. The extra inning rule is the worst fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
The league average is like fucking 210. The idea of, like, we're going to shorten games. Like, if baseball is too long for you, get the fuck out. I'm sick of catering to this, like, baseball is too long bullshit. Games are fucking 3 hours. The 7-inning doubleheader, at first I kind of liked it in COVID, and now I'm like, this is fucking garbage. Play fucking 9 innings.
I think they do have a problem. You brought up the 210 batting average. I saw something. Baseball's going to have the worst hitting on pace. I didn't read the article. I should have. Since 1968. I don't know if that meant batting average.
And here's the thing. I am not big on making a ton of rules to to putting more bureaucracy in the game of, you can do this, you can't do this, but I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. Ban the shift. You have to have two guys on either side of second base. If you want to bring a third guy in, if you want to bring your fucking left fielder in, or put him behind second base as well, and say, this guy's never hitting it to fucking left field, so we'll just put our outfielder here. Fine. Two infielders on either side of second base. That's it. Ban the fucking shift.
Yeah. Well, it's just
of all the rules, this is what we do in, you know, we've been doing in the NFL for years. This is what they're doing. They create rules that they think are going to help, and they actually make the game worse. And, you know, banning the shift, I don't want to have to do it, but if we're going to do things like, you know, oh, a pitcher's got to pitch to three fucking batters, and what, like, that's horseshit. You're worried about the, you know, you're worried about more score. And the other thing is like, oh, we got a problem with games being too long, but we also got a problem that no one's hitting. Well, which one is it? Because pitchers' duels go fucking fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yesterday's game ended up a little over 3 hours. Think about that. Yesterday's game was 10 innings, a little over 3 hours. That was with five hits heading into the 10th.
So the
point is, it's still a long game with no hits, no runs.
And if you go, also, is 3 hours that long? Like, how long is a football game? 3 hours?
About three and a half.
Okay, so it's shorter than football now with action. You know, people always go, oh, nothing fucking happens in baseball. Football, there's 8 minutes of gameplay in the whole fucking game.
Well, I like my viewpoint is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So the game's been around a long time, right? Baseball's been around forever.
Baseball, Andy. Baseball.
Yeah. So we don't need to change the rules that have been in place. Now, you got to change some. Of course, you adjust and you adapt. And they used to have 9-game World Series. We talked about that when I was in LA.
Yeah, for like three seasons. And that's fine. Abandon, you know, they came up with a shitty rule then and they were like, this is stupid. We should abandon this.
Yeah. So I agree. I think you got to keep it mostly the same way it's been because it's worked. But I don't like the guy on second base to start the 10th. I don't like the rule that you have to pitch to three guys.
Horseshit.
At the end of the day, most people who go, such as myself and my buddies, we know, okay, Wednesday afternoon / early evening, we're going to beat the game. You just know. You know it's a baseball game. Just like when you go to a football game, you know it's going to be long haul. And with that being said, I want to bring into another discussion day versus night baseball games. I've gone to 3 games this year already, all day games. And I think it really hit me yesterday. And it was a nice day. You know, it was low 60s, one of those beautiful days where it's perfect spring weather. To me, it doesn't compare. To me, baseball is day.
Listen, I'm, you know, maybe I'm just a lover of baseball. Like, but I'll eat baseball during the day. I'll eat it at night. I'll eat it with, in a house with a mouse. I don't, you know, like, I don't care, Sam. I am like, give me fucking baseball. Like,
Hey, hold on. Excuse me. I just got a cancel hotline. You've been canceled because Dr. Seuss has been canceled.
Oh, I forgot we canceled Dr. Seuss. Not on Dirty Sports. We're bringing him back. So I fucking love baseball and, you know, listen, I love night games too. And, but there is something special about day baseball games. Absolutely. And part of the Leprano commish, campaign is there will be a day baseball game every single day, of the major league season, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there will be at least one. Maybe in my campaign, it might be one in each league, 1 day baseball game.
So there's not at least one day?
Day. No.
I didn't know. I would have assumed there was at least 1 day game every game.
No. Unless, I mean, it hasn't been the last few years. If they're doing that now, great. But, I mean, you went to a day game yesterday. I'm going to a day game today, so... They're more often, but in my campaign, day baseball every day.
Day baseball is great. It really is. Because you still have your evening. Just the feel, I'm not anti-night, but my preference is definitely day. The feel of a day game, it just feels like baseball. There's a reason the Cubs didn't play a night game until 1988. It's just a different.
They didn't have lights. That's the number one reason.
Yeah, they also decided to not put in lights until then. There's, I'm just saying there's a reason. I think day baseball is better for me. Like just for me personally. Night's fun, but I don't know. I would take day baseball.
And did you know Jacob DeGrom is the greatest pitcher in the history of day baseball?
What's his ERA?
It's something absurd. He also has one win during day games. That's not true, but basically.
Yeah.
That poor fucking guy.
So, Amir Garrett got a 7-game suspension.
Dude, your boy is reckless at this point. I mean, what is his fucking deal?
Hold on, though. I'm not going to disagree with that, but 7 games? Seven?
Yeah, baseball. You know why, Andy? Because it's like grounding your kid. Like, he got grounded. He got grounded again, and he fucking snuck out the window while he was grounded and burned down the neighbor's house. Like, this guy needs to fuck. Like, Amir Garrett needs therapy is the title of this episode. Amir Garrett needs fucking Valium. Like, Amir Garrett needs to chill the fuck out, dog. I love the passion, and it's good for the game, but he's a psychopath.
Well.
And he's not pitching that well.
No, he's not. Well, I was in his corner forever saying he needs to be the closer. They try him as the closer. Clearly, it isn't working, or it wasn't working. So I was wrong. I'm on record saying that. I'm on record tweeting that. I've been wrong. You're right. He needs to learn how to channel his emotions. But I do have a problem with 7 games. The claim from Major League Baseball is inciting, in quotes, a benches clearing incident.
Which he did.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Baez is also responsible. Garrett is chirping, going nuts after the strikeout in Sunday's game. If you watch the video, Baez just jumps over the top of the dugout.
Yeah, because Amir Garrett's just randomly like, and one of the guys on the Phillies did this too the other day to the Mets because of, you know, something from earlier in the season. I think, you know, Dom Smith, who was part of that incident, said it correctly, which is he has no problem with pimping home runs, and he has no problem with pimping strikeouts, and he has no, like, the passion, he's totally fine with the passion of the game, but there's a new trend with these pitchers that they're getting guys out and then, like, you know, flexing on the entire dugout. And it's like, when you're flexing on the entire dugout, what do you expect to happen?
Well, Garrett's a lunatic. And
I 100% agree. And I'm saying this is one of those. This is whatchamacallit. What's your boy from the Bengals who was kept? Vontaze Burfict. This is a Vontaze Burfict suspension. It's like, you're getting suspended for what you did, but you're also getting suspended for your history of being insane. Like, well, at some point, you know, the multiple offenders, it's like, you know, if you get busted, you know, for possession, it's one thing. But if you get busted a second time, they're like, bro, you're just a reckless criminal at this point.
Well, look, Garrett, he's a passionate guy.
He's a fucking lunatic, Andy.
He's emotional. He talks to himself. I don't know how much of that out there is him hyping himself up. He's one of those guys who does that. Sometimes athletes do it. I do that to myself sometimes.
He's fucking Scarface. He's like, say hello to my little friend. You're like, I'm here, Garrett, relax. Why do you have a machine gun?
Look, you're going to get the good with the bad. He took on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates team a couple years ago.
Your lineup is so polluted.
I like Amir Garrett personally. I don't know him from what I've seen. Here's my thing as a fan of the Reds. I would rather have an off the cusp, he might go a little bonkers type of guy.
Cusp. You don't know what you're saying, dude, but you come at Amir Garrett, you better fucking take him down.
I'd rather have him on my team than a lot of players.
Sure. But you got to channel it. You got to. He's got to figure it out. He's gone for 7 games because he got a guy out and then was like, I'm going to fight your whole fucking team. Who's the bad guy now?
So you think 7 games is justified?
I think it's justified only in the sense of
it's a lot of games, man.
Only in the sense of the recurring criminal activity. Again, he's a repeat offender. Also with baseball, like, you know, when you, it's always funny when they're like, this pitcher has been suspended for 3 games. It's like, he's not even going to fucking, he just pitched yesterday. He's not going to pitch for a fucking week.
Yeah. But what's crazy about what happened there
is he's going to miss what? 3 appearances.
Sure. But what's telling about his strikeout, when he strikes out Rizzo, Rizzo looks at him and Rizzo basically just Rizzo wasn't even doing anything.
Yeah.
Again, it was Baez.
It's the fiery Latinos. Who Baez is like, oh, you want to play? We can fucking play. El Mago.
I just think, maybe I'm being a homer here. I just think that if Garrett gets 7 games and Baez, who leapfrogs the dugout and runs on the field, gets just a fine, he should get a couple games too, because no one forced him to run onto the field. I know he's having his teammates back, but no one's forced him to do that.
And again, Javi Baez didn't try to fight an entire team 2 years ago. And he's not trying to fight it. Like, Amir Garrett has beef with everybody.
I love it.
Amir Garrett's like, fuck the Cubs, fuck the Pirates, fuck the White Sox, I'll fight Tony La Russa.
I love it, man. I think the Reds need that. I think they need it too,
but you need to like, it can't cost you 7 games, dog. Like get fiery and get fired up and pimp your outs. But like, he didn't even fucking pimp that. He's like walking toward Rizzo. Like how did he see this playing out? He's like,
I don't know.
He wanted Rizzo to fight him. And then you're like, oh, Javi fought him. It's like, woof.
He's had a rough start.
Start a fight.
I don't know. He's had a rough start to the year. And I think that it was a crucial moment in that game. He got the big strikeout. I think he was just pumped up. I mean, do we necessarily know he's trying to fight Rizzo?
I don't know what he said, but it's his body language. I hate to go all John Boy here, but his body language is like, I'll fucking kill you, Anthony Rizzo. And Rizzo's like, bro, you already struck me out. But I think we're done here.
He's
like,
yeah.
Oh, you think we're not done till you say I'm done. I like it. By the way, he went from Scarface to Tony Clifton.
Well, you alluded to it earlier. It was nice to see you drinking some Miller Lights at the game yesterday.
Shout out to Lori from the Busch Stadium event crew for putting Miller Lite in the fridge for me. What a gem. What a peach she was.
I know that's your favorite pastime. Miller Lite and baseball. They go together.
Go
like peanut butter and jelly.
Go on my Instagram, Andy. I had a number of Miller Lights last night. I put it up. I said, forget it. I'm at Miller Park. You know, there's no more Miller Park in Milwaukee. Miller Park is whatever ballpark I'm in from now on.
Sure.
Miller Park is now rotating. Your park is now Miller Park, because I was there enjoying myself a number of crisp, cold Miller Lights straight out of the fridge. Crack it open. You got baseball. You've got a Miller. Like, honestly, somebody, I think it was Kyle Aronofsky, was in the DMs today saying, Prano's Instagram just so wholesome right now. What a guy. He just seems so happy to have beer. And I was like, it's true. I am a simple man, Andy. A baseball game and a Miller Lite, it really doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
Yeah. And look, guys, we got about 140 more games of baseball. So next time you're at the ballpark, grab yourself a Miller Lite. And next time you're getting beers with friends, make it Miller time. Luckily, you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer, or go to MillerLite.com/dirty sports to find delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
And I'll say it again. I've been saying it every episode now. Almost as wholesome as me at a ball game with a beer makes me feel. One of my favorite new trends is dirtballs sharing the photos of their Miller Lite they're on the golf course, when they're at watching a baseball game, when they're watching a game on TV. It's become a new thing, just like seeing others out there enjoy Miller Lights and what's going on with them. It really does warm my heart.
Yeah.
Now, so I did get a Miller Lights smacked out of my hands by Amir Garrett last night, so that was upsetting. But hey, walking around random baseball stadiums like, take your Miller Light out of here.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's got long arms. You know, former basketball player. He can reach those beers. One last baseball thing I want to discuss, and then we'll move on. I saw this today.
Lions episode.
Well, Andy. Yeah. Well, I saw this the other day.
Baseball. I like this.
Well, you know, I said this. I'm going to go to a lot of games, and I'm close. I'm under 20. I'm like 17 minutes to the stadium. It's an easy drive. Tickets are cheap. I mean, the tickets I have are $10 last night, like, or yesterday. So my goal is at least 10 Reds games, and I should achieve that easily. So I'm going to go a lot of games. I did see this, though. I guess if they expand baseball, Rob Manfred would want $2.2 billion for an expansion, which I thought, well, that seems like a lot of money, but I don't know. So at this point, there's 30 teams. They haven't expanded since the Rays and the Diamondbacks.
Right.
Which would be what, 98? So, you know, there's talk. Right. There's talk if they went to two more teams, which would probably be the end of it. But
we always say that, but yeah.
True. $2.2 billion.
But I don't even understand what does that mean?
What it
explain
mean,
like what does that mean? He would want $2.2 billion.
Major League Baseball would want $2.2 billion for a new city's team.
Major League Baseball would want basically $2.2 billion in cash for the right to start a baseball team?
Correct.
Okay. That's interesting.
So if you want to start a team in Nashville, let's just pick Nashville.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball says, okay, we're going to expand. We're going to add two more teams. If you want to start that team in Nashville, it's going to cost you $2.2 billion.
I think your boy, Russell Wilson, and now single Melinda Gates get together, bring that baseball team to Portland that he's been pushing for a while. Let's start there. Let's get a baseball team in Portland.
The Portland Antifas. I think we figured it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That'll be the team name, right? Just guys lighting shit on fire.
We'll try to figure out how to join Antifa.
So Russell, I'm sure it's pretty easy. Russell Wilson and Melinda Gates. Not a
walk
bad
into
pair.
A bar. Yeah. She's got the money. He's got like the Jay-Z vibe, you know. He'd be the face.
By the way, you haven't heard too much about him. I think things have settled. I thought they would.
Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers is stealing his headlines. But I also like day games, Mr. Unlimited Hot Dog Days. Come down to Portland's. Come to see the Portland Bombers where hot dogs are unlimited.
I like that. Dude,
we're into the soy dogs. We do soy dogs. Unlimited soy dogs.
I did a great deal yesterday. So for $20 at Great American Ballpark, you get 5 hot dogs.
$20. Wait, say this again. For $20?
$20 is what you get.
5 hot dogs.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Bags of Lay's potato chips.
Wow.
Unlimited bags of popcorn.
Unlimited.
Unlimited bags of peanuts.
What?
And one soda that you can refill, like a cup.
For $20.
$20. So think about it. Yesterday, I went in with a group of 6. And one of them was my 4-year-old nephew. So in my head, I'm saying, guys, we each adult gets a hot dog. We get unlimited bags of chips.
And you went full Oprah yesterday. You get a hot dog. You get a hot dog.
My friends were roasting me. They go, you have gone so full dad mode and you don't have kids. I carried in a little cooler with waters and juice boxes for my nephew. Like my sister-in-law didn't even bring this for her own kid.
Kids, listen, keep your ticket stubs. You get a free cotton candy at Kings Island next week with that ticket stub. You don't lose that now. Don't lose that now.
Oh, they were roasting me, my friends, the whole game. You would have fit in perfectly. They're like, hey, Ruth, you got any Band-Aids in your little thing you brought? What else you got in there? Like what grown man without kids is bringing it? I said, guys, water's $5. If I can bring in bottles of water, why are we paying for it? But $20.
Mama always said, bring your own waters to the baseball game.
That's a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, what's amazing about that deal is the five hot dogs, unlimited chips, unlimited popcorn, but one soda.
Yeah.
One soda. So is this supposed to be some Midwest fucking dude deal? It's like, hey, yep, this is a one person deal. You're supposed to be eating these hot dogs yourself.
But again, you can refill, you know, cause it's at a dispenser. You can refill that soda.
This is the most COVID bonkers thing. It's like, listen, we're going to give you five hot dogs and five bags of chips. So your whole family have it, but you guys need to share this soda.
Yeah.
Imagine like, I'm in.
But you all have to wear masks also during the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. And for the record, the Reds also offer the grown adult baseball helmet nachos.
That's nice.
I saw somebody eating it and I just thought, Michael Magid. Like he will forever now be associated with
the giant helmet nachos.
The giant helmet nachos. But I think Moore Park should do something like that.
Yeah.
Like why talk about a way to incentivize people. I saw that the Mets and the Yankees are offering vaccination shots, which is a good incentive to obviously get vaccinated and also get a free ticket to a ball game.
Yeah. And I guess they're changing the rules in terms of attendance. And I guess at some point with this in New York, they're going to say the vaccinated sections can essentially be full baseball sections.
Correct.
And that there will still be, you know, spaced out non-vaccine sections. It's very weird. It's a crazy world we're living in.
It is a crazy world.
Tony La Russa just heard about COVID, by the way. He's like, what is this? I mean, I've had Corona beers. What's a coronavirus? La Russa, where have you been?
I know La Russa.
Since 2011, I've been asleep on a golf course in Arizona.
You know how he got a DUI before the season started. I don't know if you know this. His DUI was actually, he was riding a horse and buggy on a stagecoach.
Yeah.
That's how it went down.
The police knew he was drunk when the wheel fell off his wagon.
Ladies and gentlemen, try the chicken fingers. We'll be here all week. Dude, I want to talk some NBA now.
Let's do it.
Talked a lot of baseball. So LeBron is back, and then he's back out.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, I want to talk about one thing he said.
Oh boy, here we go.
Which I think is a mistake. I think we should break this down. So LeBron is back. Obviously, the Lakers need him. His ankle's still jacked up. But he said this verbatim after he played his first or second game back. He said, I don't think I will ever get back to 100% in my career. I don't think he should say that.
Why?
Because I'm a big fan of the mental part of sports. And he has been the perennial best player in the league for 15 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
You and I think he's the greatest of all time. A lot of other people think he's the greatest of all time. There has to be fear. And I'm sure there's fear with a lot of players and teams when they have to face LeBron James in the playoffs, because he's almost insurmountable. I would argue that he is for the most, you know, there's very few blemishes in his career. So my argument from a psychological side would say, why are you letting anyone in, LeBron? Like why? I appreciate the honesty. I think it's good when people are honest. So he's being honest. But why is he letting, think about this quote again. I don't think I will ever get back to 100% of my career.
Well, I look at this in a number of ways. And the only downside of it is if it's affecting him personally, because I'll tell you one thing, other teams, other coaches, they don't give a fuck if LeBron James says, I'll never be fit. First of all, LeBron James on one leg is better than the majority of people to ever play in the NBA. So I can tell you with 100% certainty, when they have to play a Clippers team in the playoffs and they go, hey, Kawhi, you know, LeBron says his ankle isn't 100%. Kawhi is going to be like, he's going to laugh at the idea that he gives a fuck what LeBron James says about his ankle. No one that's playing against LeBron James is going to be like, we got a hobbled LeBron. Let's kill this wounded animal. They're going to be like, he is a killer. He is going to kill us. Is he even telling the truth? Is his ankle better than it? You know what I mean? Like, is he playing possum?
There is that angle. There's the possum angle for sure. But do you see what my angle is? That why give anybody any little glimmer?
I don't even think he is. I don't even think he is. The only weakness, the only negative I can see is if he himself feels, you know, if this shows that he no longer personally feels like, you know, Superman, if he feels that he is not, you know, unbeatable now, that's the only thing. And listen, who are we to ever question like how LeBron motivates himself and how he, whatever, because again, he's the best ever. But I don't believe for a second that anybody that plays against LeBron or anybody that coaches against LeBron even believes him.
Interesting.
And if they do believe him, I don't think they give a shit. I don't think Paul George is like, oh, cool. Well, I get a 75% LeBron. I guess this is going to be fucking easy.
I'm not saying guys will think it'll be easy at all.
Obviously, think guys are going to be like, well, this is bullshit because now he's going to fucking kill me and...
I'm thinking about myself. If somebody tells me they don't think they're ever going to be 100% again, and they are the best player in the league, and they have been for years, and they have basically been unstoppable, I'm thinking, okay, that's gonna motivate me.
Yeah. I think if he's playing against you, he just outsmarted you.
But why?
He's essentially doing this. He's essentially doing the, the Sugar Ray, you know, spinning his thing, hitting you with the left. Then, like, if you did that, you you bought it hook, line, and sinker. He's putting it out there. He's fishing for guys to go, huh? And when he drives past him on the first play of the game, I'm like, fuck. Okay, well, he got me one play.
Personally, I think he's being honest. I just think he's being transparent here.
And he could be being transparent, but that doesn't change anything. What does that mean? He's not going to be okay. He's all right. So he's 98% LeBron.
It's just, I have viewed him.
I think the Michael Rapaports of the world and the whatever, I think the way to look at this is like, is he setting himself up in case they lose? Oh, I'll never be 100% again. Like, I know a lot of people are like, think that LeBron is very calculated in building in excuses for himself and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, the idea of it, it's just all for us to talk about. No, again, I think that you are completely different from anybody who's playing against LeBron in the NBA. I don't think anybody in the NBA for one second believes that LeBron James is in some hobbled form. If he's on the basketball floor.
Yeah, and I'm not saying hobbled because it was just for me, minus that one, his first year with the Lakers, he's beaten Father Time so far. Now,
but
Father Time's undefeated. But so my point is, it's almost like, wow, is this real? You know, is there going to be a decline? And I obviously it's going to happen. It's how it works.
Yeah.
But to hear him saying that himself, you're like, whoa, this could be real. Now they need, doesn't mean they can't win the title, but they do need a healthy LeBron. At least
do they need a fully healthy LeBron?
No, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I mean, do they need a fully healthy LeBron to win the title? No, I don't believe that they do, but I think that everybody else needs to, like, if LeBron is not 100% and if he's closer to like 80% than he is 100%, then they're going to need, 100% Anthony Davis. They're going to need Schroeder to be back. They're going to need everybody else because the NBA is strong as shit. And there's a lot of good teams and there's a lot of good players. And that's, you know, LeBron James's legacy that people who, you know, still doubt he's the greatest of all time don't consider is we're now talking about 15 years in how teams can beat LeBron and what needs to happen for teams to beat LeBron. Because for a long time, the way to beat LeBron was stockpile the greatest players in the league. That's the only way it's going to happen. I mean, he went a decade where there, you know, see you in the finals, express train to the finals.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's I don't think it's a matter of injury. I don't think it's a matter of, you know, his team falling off. I don't think it's a matter of them not being as good as whatever. I think it's a matter of LeBron's, how long can one man be an entire conference? It was going to end at some point, and it's probably already ended.
What's ended?
The like dominant LeBron versus the world run.
Well,
I think we've already, like,
really. I mean he was. I mean, you could argue he was the MVP. He was right there in the MVP race until he gets injured.
Yeah, but listen, Anthony Davis is a great player, and you add him to a team of LeBron James last year, they win the title. But I don't think current day LeBron James is winning with a fucking flat earther and, you know, Kevin Love. Like, there was a time, and I know we like have hoisted some of these guys up, where, you know, LeBron started the super team. He had fucking Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. Like, there was a time where LeBron James was winning titles with a flat earther and Kevin Love. Like,
yeah. Well, that was 5 years ago.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years ago.
But going to the finals every year. Dellavedova and Mozgov. That was Superman. That was the greatest we've ever seen. Scoring 50 points and fucking grabbing, you know, 14 boards and having 15 assists. Leading every single player in everything. For a fucking finals series. That's unheard of. And it's not going to be heard of anytime fucking soon. You can have the greatest player in the game right now. You can have the MVP. If the Suns go on to win the finals, or the Nuggets go on to win the finals, or the Nets go on to win the finals, or the Bucks go on to win the finals, Giannis is fucking great. Giannis ain't leading everybody in assists. Might lead in rebounds, might lead in blocks, he might lead in points. He's not leading in assists. Chris Paul might lead everybody in fucking points and steals and assists. He's not leading in rebounds. He's not leading in blocks. Jokic ain't scoring the most points in the series. That was Superman shit. And fucking, a lot of people don't remember it, and a lot of people didn't give a credit for it when it happened. No one's doing that shit ever again.
I don't want to say ever again.
Until another fucking UFO crashes on Earth with another Superman. Until the Kent family finds another 6'9", 245-pound super freak living in their barn, we're not seeing it again for a while.
Yeah, but you never know with sports, right? Like, we didn't think there was going to be a guy to compete with Jordan. And the truth is, LeBron came along really not that long after Jordan. I mean, actually, he entered the NBA just a couple years after Jordan left the Wizards.
Yeah, but we're, again, and this is where, this is the difference between, you know, the Jordan stands of the world and me. Michael Jordan didn't do it. So I know Michael Jordan's the GOAT. He didn't fucking do it, guys. He didn't do it. No one did it before him. The idea that somebody's going to come along and do it after him, highly unlikely.
Got that Eminem Superman song in my head right now.
Yeah.
It's a good song. It's on the
Eminem has become underrated at this point.
I agree. I've actually been listening to a lot of him. I was so
riding that fucking riding mower in the Midwest, white t-shirt on.
I'm putting in my earrings again, my hoop, my my gold hoop earrings. My hair is blonde.
Yep.
There is an 8-mile road real close to where I live too. So take the riding mower down there.
Yeah. I think you should. Does, by the way, I was thinking about this the other day. Does the riding mower have miles on it?
No, I don't think so.
It's too bad. It'd be great to know how many miles you were riding on that mower.
I mean, not that many, you know.
But, you know, they pile up quickly.
I got to get the blade sharpened. My buddy's got to teach me how to do that.
You're such a fucking dad.
Oh, I am.
I'm going to have to get you a pair of fucking New Balance dad sneaks for your riding mower.
I'm the most dad. I think I could be more dad mode than my friends and some of my friends and family who have kids. Like, I basically identify as a dad at this point. Fully. Everything I do. I can't believe I brought drink boxes to a fucking game. For not even my own child. And the irony is, my nephew didn't even want the drink box. And my sister-in-law was like, oh, you even got organic drink boxes. Like, you know, I got to be healthy for the kids.
You're the fucking dorky dad. I got your organic juice box. I want organic juice boxes. I want a fucking unlimited soda.
Unlimited. You think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up somewhere else?
I mean, now the talk is that, you know, did you see the Schefter tweet that they're like exploring veteran QBs and stuff? Like, I don't know. And listen, I think the answer for Aaron Rodgers, or like the attitude we have to have Aaron Rodgers, like, I feel like I'm the only person who has a reasonable Aaron Rodgers attitude. Like, what he's doing isn't cool, but it isn't like people are treating him like he is like like screwing over the fucking pack. Like, I'm just like, I think the answer is in between. Like, the guy is unhappy. He's expressed his unhappiness. They haven't done anything. He's the only reason they're relevant, and he's the MVP. Like, you know, is he holding the team hostage a little bit? Yeah, but like, meet his fucking demands.
Well, at this point, though, why don't you just air every? It's like it's all leaking. Why can't Aaron just air everything out? Like, go on Pat McAfee's show, because Pat's going to be real, and just say, "Hey, man, this is all the things that are going on in my head. These are all my issues with the team. Why not just air it all out and just get it done with?"
I mean, I think the only answer to that question that maybe makes sense is maybe he doesn't want to be there, and I don't think he can say that. Like, can he say like I like come and get me, Giants. You know, I wanted to go to the Niners. Like,
I think he can, but why not just air every problem he has out? Why can't he air it out? What would be the problem with that?
I mean, what I'm asking is there, like, is it legal? Is there a tampering thing? Like, I want to play for the Dolphins. Why fucking Dolphins trade for me? Like, but I guess that's being like extra honest.
Yeah. I don't know if he can say teams. I don't know the rules, but I think, right, things are getting leaked or purposely then to an Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or someone in the press.
I also think I'm also not going to defend Aaron Rodgers like as a person. Like, it seems like he's definitely a prickly guy. He doesn't get along with his family. He doesn't whatever. And
that's what I was trying to say last episode. And I felt like you shot me down.
I'm just saying I'm not defending. Like, listen, he doesn't have to like his family.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he does, but I feel, again, my thing last episode was, first of all, I like Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think any of us know Aaron Rodgers. I think only know what Aaron Rodgers shows us. And I think Aaron Rodgers is more calculated than most people. You know, we always talk about, oh, LeBron this and whatever. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a very, you know, calculated thing. Like, remember the stories coming out last year of him, you know, with his weirdness and his weird tics. It was like those were endearing, but we didn't hear about them till 10 years into his career.
No, you're right. He is calculated. Obviously, I mean, to just drop at the award show that he's engaged to Shailene Woodley. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a
I mean, the question marks surrounding him and his relationships and his everything, sexuality, whatever, sure, has always been there. Like, I think there's a lot about Aaron Rodgers we don't know that we'll learn after the fact. But I take it back down to the base level. Forget all that. You have the MVP. You have, in my opinion, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever walk the face of the earth. He's the only reason that you are relevant. You fucking gave away a lot of his career with that shithead Mike McCarthy that you fucking held on to for too long. And he didn't push the issue when McCarthy was there, and he should have.
Yeah.
And it cost him 5 years of his career at least, because he wasn't the guy who came out and said, Mike McCarthy's a fucking boob, get rid of him. And now he's going, the GM's a fucking boob, get rid of him. And people are like, yeah, you know, what's going on with Rodgers? I don't know how I feel about it. It's like, he's not going to make the same mistake twice. He's going, I want a fucking receiver. This guy refuses to give it to me. It's almost like he's mocking me at this point. Fuck him. It's me or him. And somewhere Terry Bradshaw's, I would stick with the GM.
Terry Bradshaw. He's also, as we know, the same guy who would have chosen Mike McCarthy over Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. That was what I was referencing, Andy.
Terry Bradshaw is the definition
of boomer,
of old head.
Yeah.
Like the phrase old head.
I mean, he's the definition of old head because literally look at his head. It looks so old.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw has been bald since the 70s.
And by the way, that guy has a history too, for anybody who doesn't know. He had major problems. I think he's still, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think he still disassociated himself with the Steelers organization. Isn't that correct?
I don't know.
Like, I think they've had issues.
You certainly don't see it a lot. You don't see a lot of Bradshaw and Steelers gear at Steelers games.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. Like, they had a major fallout, and he had some issues when he played for them. And yes, I want to see, did he ever have hair? Is there visual evidence of Terry Bradshaw, the original TB.
The original TB12.
I want to do a face swap of Bradshaw's hair with Tom Brady and Brady with Bradshaw, the two TBs.
I love it.
I want Brady to come into Bucks training camp.
What is that coming in the window? Oh, it's the Jay Lloyd signal. It's bright out there.
I'm glad you got some sun finally, man. I'm concerned.
Me?
You're stuck in a...
Well, the sun's been here the whole time, but yeah, I'm still in the dark corner. I just leaned into it a little bit.
Are you going to get a chance to golf?
I hope so. I think that's the plan. I think the plan is to golf on Saturday. But, you know, one thing you take for granted when you're in Southern California is this water that falls from the skies in other places.
Sure.
It may be sky water day on Saturday.
Did you bring your minimal golf bag?
Of course I did, Andy. I used they have the little, actually I brought the rain cover that comes with a little rain cover that you can put on the bag. I put that on, shoved it in my travel bag. And I'll tell you, Andy, when I took my clubs here the last time, it was one thing. You put it on the plane. When I put my minimal bag on the plane, I was like, it was like seeing a kid off to school. I was like, maybe I should take the Bluetooth speaker with me. Maybe I should take guys, there is a hand-painted logo of my face on this bag. So if you don't mind, can we put a Fragile sticker on this?
Sure.
But man, I am so excited at the prospect of pulling this out on the course here in St. Louis and blowing some Midwest minds.
Yeah. So
is this fancy California bag you got? Is that your face on it?
Yeah, guys, if you're a golfer, you got to get yourself a minimal golf bag. The new bag, version 2.0, will be dropping May 25th. So if you want that, they are offering some pre-sales. So go check all their great products out at minimalgolf.com. Joe just alluded to it. They have a great waterproof Bluetooth speaker, which is now adding a few more hours. They got the solar power bank, the phone charger, the retractable cable, which you can charge everything. The upgraded version, again, which drops May 25th, you're going to have longer battery life.
They've got a rangefinder pocket now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing I love about the minimal bag, in addition to obviously that they will do custom artwork for you, and the phone pocket, which is incredible. You know, I have talked about it a number of times. I really feel like the number one reason my golf game improves is because of that phone pocket, because I can look at my swing, self-diagnose. But the simple things on the minimal bag, the magnet closures, like, it's just so easy. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so sleek. You've called it, the Rodney Dangerfield bag.
Yeah. The Caddyshack bag.
Yeah. And I've called it the Tesla of golf bags, but it's so pimp.
Yeah.
Literally every time I go someplace, people are like, what is with this bag?
And yeah. So if you're a golfer, or if you want to upgrade your current golf game, simply go to minimalgolf.com, get yourself a bag. Again, version 2.0 will drop May 25th. So you can get those pre-orders in and let them know Dirty Sports sent you.
Yeah. Let them know.
You want to hear some calls?
Let's do it, Andy.
Actually, I'm going to pivot on that. I think we should discuss the Vietnam vet who claimed he lived in the vet for 3 years.
No, I think we should do calls.
Okay. We'll do calls then, I guess. We'll start off with a call, a stoned call.
Ooh, stony baloney.
This is a random one, and we'll just start off with it. It just made me laugh. I heard it just before we started recording.
Great.
Hey, what's up, boys? It's Ray from Toms River, New Jersey, calling in. I just smoked a bowl real quick. So, yeah, you guys are my homies. Been listening since episode 25, but I'll keep it quick. So, yeah, I'm coming. This isn't a sports question, but I'm currently selling solar panels right now. It's pretty good money. I just want to hear your opinion. I'm like, hey, what do you think solar happening? It might be a little boring, but hey, what do you guys do about solar panels? You guys are, pretty open-minded, but appreciate you guys. I look forward to listening to the show. Hopefully this is a live call. That'd be pretty funny. But condoms all for Goons and Coons. Fuck that guy. Aaron Rodgers, GM. Fuck him.
Bro, I had to play this. What is this dude talking about? He wants our take on solar panels, and if it was a live call, I would answer the phone.
Yeah. I hope this is a live call. Maybe it's hope we were going to play it live. First of all, awesome. Second of all, do you know Kyle? I mean, we have two Toms River dirtballs.
Yeah, we've discussed this before. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't. Have we had a call from him before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You guys got to hang out. Anyway, I'm very in favor of solar.
You know what the problem, though, is?
What?
It's just, yeah, anything that's going to be more environmentally friendly is good. They've had so much, like, the California will offer
hella rebates.
But the problem is, I've followed this with, you know, I'm a big Bill Maher guy. Like, I like Bill Maher a lot. And
yeah,
I see the smirk. I followed Bill Maher for years.
Yeah. Do you, dog?
Yeah. But he's documented. Obviously, he's going to try all these things again for rebates and to be environmentally friendly. He's documented how it's been a complete disaster at his house and his own residence.
In what regard?
Like, they can't, like, he needs, however it works. Let me, cause I'm not as familiar with how all this works.
Cause I used to live we didn't hang out that much. This is pre dirty sports. When I lived in the place on 4th Street, the place that I lived in the guest garage and did like their Airbnb, she had solar panels. The lady who ran the Airbnb, she had solar panels on the house, and she would get money from the electric company. Like, they gave her money.
So he's got this solar panel shed. It even has its own Twitter, which is funny. It's his
Bill Maher's solar panel shed has its own Twitter.
I mean, it doesn't have any followers. So I just put in, because I knew this was a thing. I put it into Google, Bill Maher solar power. And, you know, here's a headline. Bill Maher has waited over 1,000 days to get solar. So whatever he did.
Seems like a real, real specific issue with solar that you have. You're like, it's really Bill Maher struggling to get solar. So, I mean, let's tap the brake on solar power till Bill Maher can figure it out. If Bill Maher can't figure it out, I don't think the rest of the world's going to get fucking solar. Hey, Bill Maher, call fucking Dave from Toms River, New Jersey. Like, have you thought about that?
So there's this blog from just 6 weeks ago called Bill Maher's Solar Failure. And somebody writes, I regularly watch Bill Maher on HBO, and his rants about not being able to get his solar project online are becoming tedious. So somebody's complaining. And they're documenting all this. And somebody
thinks this might be my favorite Andy Ruther take ever. Andy Ruther, how do you feel? Like, it's like you're running for president. How do you feel? Mr. Ruther, how do you feel about solar power? Yeah, until Bill Maher figures it out, I think we should tap the brakes.
I'm not anti-solar. Energies. I'm not anti-solar. All I was saying was I like Bill Maher, and I know he's complained a lot about this on his show.
I know, but and also I was like, well, what's the issue? And you're like, I don't know. I just know Bill Maher is really struggling with it.
That's all I know.
You're like, why is he struggling with it? I actually don't know that. I just know Bill Maher can't get solar at his house.
That's all I know. But shout out to Toms River, New Jersey, dude, who maybe he can help Bill Maher. Bill Maher, who's also from New Jersey. So maybe
we just made a love connection.
Maybe our guy who left the call, and Bill Maher, who also is a huge marijuana advocate.
And just a huge, like, Mets fan.
Yeah. So I think this guy and Bill Maher need to link up. I don't have Bill Maher's number, bro, so I can't help you, but, reach out to him. Reach out to his people.
Yeah.
Here's a good next call. I like this next call. I think we have a possible conspiracy going on here.
Okay, I love it.
About the NFL draft.
What's up, fellas? This is Jew. Just talking about the NFL draft attendees. So it's one of two things. Either one, it is the biggest fucking lowlife losers in the world. Or two, paid actors by the NFL. If you notice, there were a group of Rams fans there. They didn't even have a fucking pick in the draft, the first round of the draft. So these motherfuckers are flying all the way across country, like during a pandemic, to Cleveland for nothing, for no reason, to dress up like fucking losers. These are grown adults. So I'm wondering if you think in these people, the NFL is hiring these people as paid actors later.
I think this one has legs to it. I like it.
I 100% agree. I think that, stop. You're both right. There are a lot of fat losers there. And there's also definitely some paid actors. I mean, I think the Rams fan, I mean, this is going to have to be another ESPN investigates. Like, I want to find those Rams fans and be like, hey, we want to have you on our show and talk to them. Like, oh, you know, where do you guys live? Why are you Rams fans?
I mean,
who's your favorite Rams player? They're going to be oh, Marshall Faulk. You're like, this is suspect.
I thought of that when they showed the Rams fans. I remember thinking to myself, wait a second. Diehard Rams fans in Rams jerseys and Rams gear in Cleveland?
Rams fans don't show up to Rams games till the third quarter, but now they're going to Cleveland.
And
if Joe Schobele's not in Cleveland for the draft, no Rams fan are.
Also, I don't know if you remember this. The Rams were paying actors when they were doing certain NFL events. Do you remember around the playoffs to give better fanfare for Fox? Do you remember this?
No, but I believe it.
So when Fox was setting up around the stadium, multiple times, Craigslist ads leaked. They didn't even leak. It was posted that they were looking for actors to be paid to dress up as Rams fans. And this happened multiple times. So there's already a precedent for this, specifically with the Rams. And I agree. I think it's a combo. I think you have legit fans who are like,
The gigantic, obese Cleveland Browns fan with the dog mask on.
That's real.
Yeah. The hot blonde chick who's there in a Rams jersey, she was an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. The diehard group of Jags fans did not drive up or hop in a plane from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
To watch Trevor Lawrence.
He wasn't even there. That was not Swingman 9.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence wasn't even there. Trevor Lawrence didn't even, he was with his family. So there was no Jags fan who showed up in Cleveland.
100% agree. I think our boy Jew is right.
Is that Mr.?
And you can't cancel me. You can't cancel me because that is apparently his name.
It's just Jew. It's not Mr. Jew. It's just Jew.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to get to Nick Yardley. Nick Yardley is out of control.
I love Nick Yardley. One of my favorite dirt balls of all time. That 315 crew, lunatics. And I love each and every one of them. What a diverse crew of lunatics.
Can we just start playing some of these calls? We'll break them down quickly.
Yeah.
He's just leaving calls left and right.
Yeah.
And I know he's lit. So he left the call about me fighting Taylor Swift.
Another segment. A new Dirty Sports segment we called Leaving the Yardley.
So he's leaving these calls lit. Let's just get through a few of his. There was another one. There was another one last night.
I think we got to go blind into that one.
Ooh.
Dangerous game.
Brano, this is a dangerous game.
It is a dangerous game. But just remember, the thoughts and opinions expressed by any caller on the Dirty Sports Podcast do not reflect the views of the host of the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Thank you. We needed that disclaimer. All right, this is last night. I have not heard it.
Hey, yo, it's Charlie. Yo, if you're a wrestler, what song would be your rock out? Hey, yo, that Brennan's baddie, bro. She can suck me up, huh? Hey, yo, Pete.
What?
What was that last part?
Let me replay this.
Hey, yo, it's Charlie. Yo, if you're a wrestler, what song would be your rock out? Hey, yo, that Brennan's baddie, bro. She can suck me up, huh? Hey, yo, Pete.
Oh, I think he means the British. The voicemail is the British woman. I don't know if he said. So he wants the AI
British AI voice to suck him off.
Yardley, I told you, he's out of control.
Isn't there a Joaquin Phoenix movie about that?
Yeah, I've seen it, where the voice is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
He basically falls in love with his AI. His
iPhone.
Yeah. So Yardley, shout out to Yardley down in Amarillo. I think he's down in Amarillo still with the sod poodles. After these calls, he will no longer have a job. But sorry, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. The thoughts and opinions expressed by Nick Yardley do not reflect those thoughts and opinions of the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
So if I, of course, Yardley's a wrestling fan. If I,
I feel like I need Nick Yardley and who's our boy from their broadcast booth?
Sammy Levitt?
Who's great, by the way. I follow him on TikTok. Levitt's got a legit fun TikTok. I think Yardley and Levitt need their own podcast.
Where Levitt is like the controlled,
Levitt's like a professional broadcaster, yes. And Yardley's just like, if you had to fuck one automated voice, what fucking automated voice would you fuck? If you had to fuck Siri or Alexa, who'd you fuck? And you're like, what?
Dude, he's out of control.
Siri's clearly fucking hotter.
Can I get through a few? I got to get through a few of these calls. I was telling you about this. I was like, Yardley just.
I would go with Bad. To answer his question, I'd go with Bad Leroy Brown. And that would be my wrestling name too.
I would come out to its
Baddest raining. Man, the whole damn town.
I would come out to its raining man. Okay. Here's another. Let's just go through a few of the Yardley drunk calls. This one is at 7:45 a.m. So this is.
By the way, your character, if you come out to It's Raining Men, should be Rain Man. You know? Yeah. Definitely gonna pin you.
Yeah, that fit me. Okay, let's see what's going on here.
Yo, it's Yardley. Hey, Jonan, let me ask you this. What was the most degenerate moment of your life? We had a concert tonight at the stadium at Hodgetown. We had fucking pod seating, but then at the last minute, these fuckers rushed the stage. I laid out a couple fuckers, but... you know, if I was there, I'd be running wild too. So let me hear the most degenerate moment. Hey, yo, Joe, go New York, go New York, go. Hey, let's go, Mets too. Hey, yo, Andy, square up. Peace.
Bro,
if he tried to fight you at the end. He's the Amir Garrett.
You're missing this. First of all, he's laughing to himself. He's delirious. That's the line. Remember, he said.
I remember.
Square up.
I know, but he also said square up to you.
He's saying, yo, Andy. No, he's saying not to me. He's just saying square up in general, the phrase.
Okay.
I don't think he's trying to square up to me.
Okay.
But who knows? I don't know what. I mean, what a vague question.
I know the most degenerate moment in my life, which is hilarious. It was like I was in high school and my buddy, Jamie Irish, who I probably shouldn't shout him out like this, but he doesn't care. He's a savage. He's also like literally the best teacher in the world. He came to my house in high school and he was like, bro, let's get drunk. And I was like, okay. So we went to the store and bought like a six pack of booze or like a 12 pack. I think it was it was definitely beers. We bought like a 12 pack of beers with like a fake ID. And then I was like, yo, like my parents are chill, but like we can't just show up at my house with 12 pack of beers and just like start smashing beers. We're like 16. And he's like, let's go to the fucking local hockey rink and smash beers there. So like two degenerate 16-year-olds show up. And I mean, it's out of a movie. We are sitting in the corner watching like 10-year-old peewee hockey smashing beers. And this fucking coach skates off the ice and he comes over and he goes, one, take your beers and get the fuck out of here. And two, take your fucking beers and get the fuck out of here. And we just started dying. We're like, bro, you said the same thing twice. We're like wasted. We're like, why did you do two? You should have just told us. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. And then we went home and the fucking cop showed up and they're like, hey, we had reports that you guys were like smashing beers at like a PB hockey game. And I was like, yeah, sorry about that. And I've never felt like more of a degenerate. Like, who does that? It was so like fucking, you know, it was so what's the kid in Bad News Bears, you know, Kelly Lee, he's like showing up like drinking beers on his fucking motorcycle outside the Little League game, like getting harassed by the coach.
I mean, it'd be tough for me to choose. Like, I got some moments. I mean, obviously me taking my dad's car while my buddies run outside. I've been drinking all night. Them opening the front door in the driveway saying, yo, yo, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to White Castle. It's like 3 a.m. No, 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 dude, you're hammered. And then me saying, okay, I'll pull it back in the driveway. And then I peel off and then they follow me. And then I veer off the road, run over a fire hydrant.
Seems like that's the moment.
Friends open the car door. They always remind, my first line was, man, I'm fucking wasted. And they're like, no shit, dude. They leave. I leave this. The woman of the house comes out. I leave the scene of the crime. The cops are waiting for me at my parents' house to arrest me. I mean, that was pretty bad. All for White Castle.
Yeah, that and the time you woke up bleeding from the ear on this downtown street in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I got some
severe
really
brain damage.
I got some savage girl stories.
Yeah, also shit in a dryer, whatever it was.
Yeah, no, I shit in a washer.
Sorry,
I gave an upper decker to a sorority when I was like 27. I mean, I've done a lot, like. I'll be honest. Like if I put it together a top 10 list, it'd be tough to even find like the 10. Anyway, I'm past all that, guys. I'm now bringing juice boxes to a fucking baseball game. That's where I'm at. I lose your prayer now.
We are back. Was that me? Who? It seems like it must've been you, right?
Weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. Did you hear me saying now I am bringing juice boxes to baseball games? So
yes, I did. I did. That was in and out.
But savage days are done. Okay. Do we have time? Let's get one more Yardley call.
By the way, we're in savage territory over here. So we went to the game last night. We were supposed to go back to the game today and just got a text from one of the fam here. I've been throwing up since 9, too much whiskey. I'm sorry, I can't make the game today. This is why I don't whiskey. I'm like, man.
Unreal.
We are.
Do we want to do one more?
To go to the Cardinals game today.
Do we want to do one more Yardley call?
Yeah.
We're already playing them.
Sure.
All right. This one is from.
This week in Yardley.
This one is 5:51 p.m. Sunday, April 25th.
Cannot hear that.
Oh, okay. Damn it. Okay. Let me see what this did. All right. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe we just end the show. Sorry. All
right. That's great. I got a ball game to
attend. Yeah, you got a ball game, and I'll be honest, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the hotline is 310-359-8365. My apologies for whatever tech issues we're having here at the end.
Call if you're lit.
Yeah.
Follow Nick Yardley. Call if you're lit.
Yeah. Anything else? I got nothing else to push.
No. I got some shows coming up this weekend in St. Louis. I'm hosting the shows Friday and Saturday at Helium. I'm hosting the shows, guys. So I think I've said that on every podcast where I'm pushing this, but a couple of people are like, dude, you're not on the calendar. And I'm like, yeah, I'm hosting the shows. I'm opening for Ryan Long. So that's the shows you want to buy tickets for. I'll be in San Francisco in a couple of weeks. I think I've added actually a third night to my run in San Francisco. So a couple of weeks from now, go to joeprano.com. I'm doing shows there. Then Alaska at the end of the month. Then San Diego in the beginning of June. Follow me on all social media at Joe Prano, except for Twitter at Fix Your Life. Thank you.
All right, guys, that's the show. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. And as always, stay nerdy.